This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:36 right now. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani here with me. We're taking a look at the top business news of the day. Now, there are several multi-billion dollar deals in the headlines this morning. We've got Samsung Electronics having agreed to buy Harman International Industries for $8 billion and also Siemens buying software company Mentor Graphics. Now, coming back to Samsung, so this deal to buy Harman International Industries, so Harman is a supplier of audio equipment to the automotive sector. And this deal that Samsung is embarking on is really seen as a move away from its reliance on smartphones.
Yeah, and I think this deal makes Samsung an instant player in car technology. Remember, Melissa, Julian, there is an accelerating innovation in the global automotive supply chain. Much of the bigger companies in the world, including Apple and Google via Alphabet, they are already in the car technology business. Tesla is ahead of the game, but the others are closing in. And you're right, Melissa, this marks Samsung's I wouldn't say departure from smartphone. I think
it's more of a diversification than anything.
I think it could also be a case of them catering to what their customers want. Now, don't forget that Samsung actually supplies a lot of stuff to Apple. They also a semiconductor maker, so they are in just a whole host of technologies. And now, the car, the autonomous car and self-driving car is the next stage of the battle, right? And we see all these companies that are not necessarily car companies, companies like Google and Apple going into the car business. That must really say something about the technology that's involved. So Samsung is really trying to cater to their business. But this is also something that diverts the attention from the exploding mobile phones.
But you know, Jules, I mean, even right now, we've got your car syncing up to your phone. You get into your car, then whatever, you know, music or podcast you were listening to kind of streams into your audio player into your car. So this is just very synergistic, I see. And I think the next movement is when, you know, your audio in your car can do all sorts of funky things apart from just streaming.
It's true. Because of the seamless technology, it makes sense for them to plonk in $8 billion into this deal. What I find interesting is that this is an all-cash purchase. And, you know, for a company that is forking out $8 billion worth of cash, I don't know whether it's a smart move. Perhaps they want to keep their gearing ratio in check. Perhaps they want to manage their total liabilities, because at the end of the day, their sales figures did drop. They lost $5 billion because of the exploding phones, and I think
and washing machines.
Yes, so with everything exploding, you know, perhaps it's just to bust the purse.
You got to really put this into perspective, because the value of Samsung's market cap is equivalent to the GDP of Malaysia, right? So this is really talking about Malaysia, let's say, spending $8 billion on something which in fact is the total GSD collection of 8 billion ringgit is about the GSD collection of Malaysia. But 8 billion ringgit for Samsung is really nothing. It's a drop in the ocean, but it affords them to buy into the technology that perhaps may generate a lot more sales than what they have paid, because that is the future and they need to incubate all these businesses. And, you know, I was stuck in a jam 1.5 hours, and no, maybe not that long, 1 hour jam to Klang yesterday.
Oh dear.
And I was just thinking about all those people. I mean, I feel for you guys who live in Klang and having to commute every day to the center of town to work. And the other thing that was in my mind were self-driving cars. You know, how nice it would be if all the Klang people, you know, the good Klang people out there, have self-driving cars. And they could, you know, do whatever they want while doing the commute, read a book or, you know, listen to music or something. And, you know, that jam was terrible.
Yeah, I'm just really excited just to get, I don't even have Bluetooth on my audio, so maybe I need to get with the program. But the other deal that we were looking at this morning, Ibrahim, was also the Siemens deal, right? The $4.5 billion deal that they are buying Mentor Graphic for. It's a 21% 20% premium of the closing price of Minto.
Again, this is a race to digitize the industry of everything that they are in. And in this particular instance, Siemens wants to digitize heavy industries. And of course, digitization is a sexy term. That if the company can afford it, they will do it. This allows them to control data, control insights, control the intelligence of the business, and with automation, make things more efficient, makes it cheaper. So even if there is a huge capital outlay in the initial stage, to me, I think these companies are viewing it as a small cost to pay for the long-term benefits that they will derive from it.
They just want their machines to be able to talk to them and tell them when this part is failing, when you need to repair. So it's actually a really kind of smart move under that whole, you know, Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. Moving on to other stories, we've got the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US, Mary Jo White. She has announced plans to leave the agency. This is important because she's, in fact, the very first major Obama administration appointee that is stepping down after Donald Trump won the race to the White House.
You know, in November, Trump said that Janet Yellen should have raised the rates. She's not doing it because the Obama administration, the president, doesn't want her to. Mr. Trump said that Ms. Yellen should be ashamed of herself, and then he wants to revamp the Wall Street business. So perhaps with the same view that he has with Janet Yellen over at the Fed, he has the same view with Mary Jo White over at the SEC. And this could be the start of more resignations coming in from corporate America, coming in from the regulators of America.
We know that Donald Trump wants to tear up some of the major provisions of the Dodd-Frank Act, which sought to rein in the activities of the bank that led to the financial crisis back in 2008. So I'm not sure if what Trump is doing, while I think Wall Street really loves it in spite of their fears before the election, but after the election, the markets have rallied and the banks right now seem to be a good sector to invest in because of Trump's actions with all these financial policies. He also promised to, I think, review the fiduciary provision, which wants to eliminate very conflicted selling in financial products. So I am fearful that this kind of further liberalization that's coming out of the Trump administration is going to make the financial markets and economies a lot more dangerous. Again, it might lead to the buildup of another crisis if the banks are unfettered in what they do.
Didn't we see the bond market kind of react yesterday, the global government bond market especially, right?
Yeah, and because the global bond market has seen a spike in terms of their yield, lots of these investors are pulling in their funds from everywhere, particularly in the emerging markets, and trying to plonk it in the 10-year Treasury note. The interest rate has gone up to 2.3%, the highest intraday level since December last year, and this may have sparked some sort of a reaction from Wall Street right now.
Okay, so we know now that Donald Trump has spoken to Russian President Vladimir Putin on the phone. He's also spoken to China.
So now he knows Putin, right? Now, he didn't know him before.
Well, I believe now he's saying that, you know, there's going to be a new era of ties with Chinese President Xi Jinping. He also spoke to President Trump, President-elect Trump, on the phone. And in that conversation, it was the first conversation, they highlighted that cooperation was the only, quote, correct choice for the world's two largest economies, and that Donald Trump has promised one of the strongest relationships between America and China going forward.
I think this is so ironic because after all that China bashing during the debate, he is now saying that he wants to have this strong relationship. I'm not sure if he means what he says, but there is certainly a great degree of moderation in terms of what's coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. But at worst, I think, and at best, the market is seeing a lot of policy confusion because a lot of what Trump is trying to do is very short on detail.
I can see the checklist. Okay, so Putin check, Xi Jinping check, Shinzo Abe next week. You know, he's going to be meeting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in New York next week, and they're going to be talking about the TPP, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, what is going out from the policy direction of Donald Trump? What is interesting this morning is that based on South China Morning Post statement, the AIIB, which is the World Bank or Chinese version of World Bank,
the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank,
they say that U.S. could join AIIB under Donald Trump. And, you know, Melissa, if you think about it, this could be a new world order that we speak of, because AIB specifically carves out the US out of it because they want to give a counterbalance to the IMF, to the World Bank. If US joins AIIB, this does prove interesting to the Chinese.
I think it's
US
so interesting. Yeah. It's such an interesting thought to toy around with, because China controls AIIB. And we will question how much votes will they give to the United States. Possibly some trading over there, some bartering over there,
yeah.
Giving you votes in the AIIB in return for more votes in the World Bank and the IMF.
Wow.
So I don't know, we might actually see that new world order.
Interesting indeed. 7:46 right now, we'll be back with a look at what's happening here in corporate Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.